Right.
And it's supposed to rain.
Hello, everyone. It's Wednesday, September 5th, and in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee, as published in the Hunterdon Review. The agenda was posted on the Township Bulletin Board and as a courtesy on the Township website, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. We're going to rise for the flag salute, and then we're going to have a moment of silence for our first responders, frontline workers, and members of the military. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated. Roll call.
Present. Here.
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 First up is presentation of the minutes. These are the meeting minutes of the regular and executive sessions of June 21st, 2023. Any changes or a motion to approve the minutes of both the regular and executive session of June 21st, 2023?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular and executive session meeting minutes of June 21st, 2023.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Okay, next up, I need a motion to open the public comment for agenda items only.
I'll make a motion to open the public comments for agenda items only.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
Make a motion to close public comments.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Okay, next up, we're going to open the public hearing for ordinance number 2023-06. Can I get a... this is for... an ordinance amending Chapter 214, Article 1, 214-7 of the Code of the Township of Lebanon, entitled Appointments, Term of Office Removal. Can I get a motion to open the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Any committee discussion first at all?
No.
Okay. And basically, what this is doing is it's amending the fire official ordinance. And the changes that are in this is we're removing that this reports up to be the construction official. That was an old-time thing, so we're taking that out. It's inaccurate. And we're also adding a sentence. In the absence of a fire official, the fire inspector will be the acting fire official, and if a vacancy of 45 days or more for the fire official exists, the township committee shall appoint a new fire official. And that was based on my discussion with the New Jersey Division of Fire and Safety. And we're adding the word fire in front of inspectors. That's it. So any comments from the public? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close the public hearing and take a vote?
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Abe...
Second.
So he's...
He made the motion, second.
Okay, roll call. Yes. Go ahead. Roll call.
Yes.
Can I get a motion to approve ordinance number 2023-06?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Next up, I need a motion to open the public hearing for ordinance number 2023-07, which is amending the salary ordinance to include the fire inspector and make a change to remove the township administrator line, and to also, there was an increase by $1,000 in one of the salary ranges for the chief of police.
I'll make that motion to introduce or bring this to a public hearing for ordinance number 2023-06.
Second.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Thank you.
They're right in a row. So who seconded?
I seconded.
Brian did.
Okay, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. any committee discussion before we go to the public? Can I get, so any public discussion on this ordinance? Can I get a motion to close the public hearing on ordinance number 2023-07 and take a vote?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Can I get a motion to approve ordinance number 2023-07, amending the salary ordinance as mentioned?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is, now that we've gotten those ordinances out of the way, we can actually appoint a fire inspector to work under the guise of the fire official. We have all the certifications. So this is resolution number 105-2023, appointing a fire inspector. And the township committee is filling the position with Sean R. Smith, and that he's qualified to hold the position, and his appointment is effective today. Can I get a motion to approve resolution number 105-2023?
I'll make that motion to approve resolution number 105-2023, appointing Sean R. Smith as the fire inspector of Lebanon Township.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, next up is unfinished business. It's the newsletter discussion decision. And it's an open-ended discussion based on what we talked about the last time, where the liabilities fall with the ads and how we should do this. So what I'm looking for is a committee vote to go ahead and look at a third party, Hammer Press, which I did last year. And I don't know if you want to add anything to this, Mark.
Well, no, I think, one of the issues that confront municipalities in this type of situation, obviously, deals with First Amendment, and then dealing with especially the way the township does it with collecting advertisements, different advertisers who may want to be on as part of the township newsletter. When as a governmental entity and it's your newsletter, there's certain things that you have to be guided by, and I think one of the concerns becomes where do you draw the line and how do you draw the line. And then if it's necessarily a township newsletter, you can't be selective in necessarily who can advertise or not advertise. And then sometimes you're confronted with someone who, let me say, has a different idea of what they think they want to do, and it's not necessarily consistent with what the township would like to promote. And then using that, you lose some discretion in selecting those types of advertiser who can advertise. There are avenues available where if third parties do it, they're responsible for getting the ads. Townships usually provide the content, and it's content driven from the township. But without the town having to go out and collect ads, get advertisers, that's a third party because it becomes their document, but it's all information about the township. Mm-hmm. That helps alleviate the issue of the town being solely responsible for the advertisement, who the advertisers are, making those decisions. I mean, coming up with policies relative to advertisers, those are things that you probably should have in place to guide you going forward because things are getting different, or changing, and different types of entities want to try to advertise, and then you have to make a decision relative not only who can advertise, and is it political decisions, if it's a political ad or not a political ad, those types of things. So it's just, I think, one way to have the town be removed from that but still get the information that they want because mm-hmm. content's driven by the township.
Yeah, and it's also cost effective, but you do need at least a point person within the township that would gather the content that should go in that newsletter. So
could I just ask if I'm hearing correctly in my recollection from the last discussion, we should have a policy in any case. And I asked last meeting about distinguishing how to describe issue advertising from merchant advertising, and that we need in any case. My question is whether the existing contractor that we have that prepares a newsletter is it needs to be changed for some reason, or if
I don't know.
Two different discussions.
Yeah, I think the situation you have now isn't where you have a third party who does the newsletter. It's a township newsletter that's being compiled by an individual who happens also to be an employee of the township. But everything's done in-house, so to speak, right?
And it's being done with an independent contractor. The contract with the person who prepares the newsletter is as not as the person's employment.
No, I understand that, but they're an individual, right? They're not they're not set up to put out publications like this. They don't do it, you know, necessarily where they're not providing an employee information report. They're not providing a business registration statement.
And that's what I asked last meeting as well, whether that person needs to have additional structure.
To the extent if you're going to have separation, which that would be the situation, right, that would clearly be something that that entity or individual would maintain and own, right? So basically their business is to do this type of stuff, right? They put things, because they're you know, companies who do that, and then usually what happens is content is driven by the town. Whether they have, and, you know, again, you could use that same individual to be the person who writes the content, right? Ideas come up, you write content or however you want to do that. Yeah. That's a different issue because it's, you know, things about the township.
Yeah, the thing is that the position itself would change because there's going to be less to do for that person if all of the other layouts and everything are being handled by a third party. Like Hammer Press, right?
That's what I'm just asking.
Right.
If it's illegal to do it the way we're doing it now,
I wouldn't say it's illegal. I don't say it's illegal. It's not illegal. I think the issue becomes dealing with the issue of First Amendment, dealing with advertisers, and then how the town selects who should advertise, who should not advertise, and then basically putting the town in the position, exposing itself to that type of liability when there's an avenue out there to gird against that type of liability, where you're still getting a product that has all the same information out there without the town being responsible for finding advertiser, putting the ads in,
right.
You know, because that's all that solicitation comes from the township as far as you know who the advertisers. The money comes into the township, is my understanding.
Now,
I believe it comes into the township for the ads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Kim,
where when third parties do it, the money doesn't even come to the township.
You get you collect the funds when they come in, right? Yeah. Right.
And that's what I'm just trying to. I'm just trying to understand where the legal advice is, the policy advice, and it seems we need a policy on advertisers in any case, and then we're separately deciding whether we need a different company, different contractor to do it, or we need to modify the existing contractor.
I think all those are issues.
Exactly.
Right.
Issues. But they're not all one issue.
They're not necessarily, but they're
advertising in any case.
They're related somewhat, but I would say, for instance, if you start, if you have a entity that you hire, I'll call it the publisher.
Yeah.
A lot of those issues go away.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's what I'm just saying, though. You're advocating a policy that we go to a publisher.
You don't have a legal requirement, and if you're going to keep it in-house,
I'd just ask, if it is in-house now being done by a non-employee contractor,
mm-hmm.
The contractor is doing it is not doing it as an employee.
They're not doing it as an employee. They're being paid by the township, but it's still a township enterprise, I'll call it. Right?
Agreed. It's contracted by the township.
Right.
It's not a publisher per se.
It's not, right.
Last year there was a contentious debate, and the committee was divided on that, whether we wanted a publisher where we had ads for, you know, national chains and other things
because
in our newsletter, or whether we liked the way it's been done for decades, mm-hmm. of a very hometown feel, which would be done by an independent contractor the way it is now. And that's what I'm just trying to determine or understand. If you're saying it's illegal to do it the way we are to do it now?
Not saying, never use the word illegal.
And obviously I defer to the committee's policy choice if they want an advertising.
What I would say is if you're going to continue down that road, that you need to implement safeguards, right?
And that's as I asked last meeting as well.
Right, yeah. And those safeguards, again, because the fact that you're And it really sort of, you know, came late to me because this is the first time I was dealing with it.
Wow.
When it was a question of who would be permitted to advertise and who would not.
Which has to be done in any case.
Well, to the extent that you have a need, you may not have a need if you have a third-party publisher who does it, right?
May not, then.
Right.
Abe's
been... the issue is not legal. The issue is one of liability to the town. It's not a legal issue. And in order for us to limit our liability, we want a clean arm's-length agreement with a publisher that keeps us in the clear while they're doing the whatever it is they're going to do with regard to publishing and accepting money for advertisement. Because if we accept money for advertisement, then we need a policy. If we don't want to deal with a policy, we go to a third party, and it's their policy. It's not our policy.
And basically we're selling a mailing list, and
they
provide a publication to it.
And it's a lot less hassle for us.
And again, most of them pretty much pay for all of last year I think it was $14,000 that the township was paying versus free or, you know, $1,000 if the outside publisher were to do it. And they don't necessarily have national chains. You know, we went through that too.
I know they don't necessarily.
I know that the last discussion we had on this, the publisher said that they have a stable of advertisers they can go to and that we can say we don't want this, and that's when attorney jumped it, it was prior attorney, said we can't pick and choose.
Yep.
So we're going to be in the same situation here, whether we...
No, we can't pick and choose, but we can have a policy. I understood last time we could have a policy, for example, regarding issue advertisements.
I think if to the extent, again, you'd have to... You know, look at the First Amendment and look at those things.
Right.
If you're going to do it, right.
It's not a newspaper. It shouldn't be a First Amendment issue.
Well, it is.
It has to be equal treatment.
Which is a First Amendment. Equal protection but again, in free speech, it's interrelated,
exactly.
Right? So, right, so then the question becomes selecting, because if you have no policy in place, now it's really totally arbitrary, right?
Right, which is our current experience.
Yes, exactly. So if, to the extent that there isn't, the policy would have to comport with what law is to ensure that it's consistent. But then at least then there's something there to say, hey, this is why we didn't do it, right? You know, and I think you at least need that if it's in-house for protection, right? Because otherwise you're total arbitrariness.
Yeah.
Well, what I would like to suggest is that I go forward and meet with the representative that I did last year, if he's still there, bring new information to the table. And then if you want to work on policy to have it in-house, we can bring this discussion back up again. But I think Abe is right. The liability is the issue.
If we want to bring it in-house at some future time after we've developed the appropriate policies,
right, that's
and we are comfortable with the situation, we can bring it back in.
I think
at this point in time, it makes a hell of a lot of sense to get an outside publisher.
So is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 The motion is to get information.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, to get information.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. Okay. Next up, sadly, I received a letter from Brewster Zullo. With deep regret, I must inform you as of August 23rd, 2023, I am resigning from the Lebanon Township Board of Adjustment due to health concerns. And I did get a little information on Bruce. He's dedicated almost 35 years of service to the Board of Adjustment and was appointed to the board in January of 1989.
Wow.
He was nominated, became chairman in 91, and then was chair until 2021, and has served on the application review subcommittee for more than 30 years. So Bruce, and one of the side notes is that Bruce read the New Jersey Zoning and Land Use Administration edition by William M. Cox, ESQ, from cover to cover and was always well prepared for meetings. That's what somebody had said, somebody in the know. So, you know, do I have a motion with regrets? Well, he's resigning. He's not retiring.
He's resigning.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need a motion, do we?
Yeah, you can do it in motion because it's an appointment by the committee. to accept his resignation.
Make that motion to accept the resignation.
Of Bruce Terzullo.
With regrets, God bless Bruce. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Next up, this is basically it's a policy discussion. The planning board is going to meet on September 19th, and they actually wanted the township committee to weigh in on short-term rental zoning. You know, any thoughts, open-ended thoughts on it? And I had some discussion with the attorney, and we've got the committee, the planning board was kind of divided the last time we spoke about this, so I'm kind of looking for a little guidance, and we did talk a little bit about it today. So if you want to.
Yeah, sure. So I think this has come to light, become an issue for municipalities in light of things that have developed over time. That, you know, it's amazing to look back and 20 years ago, who would have thunk? There was rentals other than down in short towns, I should say, right? There's always short-term rentals down there, but it's evolved over years, and so the question becomes how best to regulate. There's a state statute in place. It's 46 colon. I'm going off the top of my head. It might be 8281, but it basically allows municipalities to adopt ordinances to license and regulate. Well, their definition of short-term rental, but they use 170 rentals that are for 175 days or less. Don't ask me how they got to 175 days, but that was the number that's in the statute. So the statutory authority for municipalities to regulate these types of rentals is there. And I know, you know, since then, the question becomes, now how best do you do it? So there's different approaches. There's the question of, for instance, let's think of your traditional rentals where people rent on an annual basis, which is, I guess, more typical. You know, New Jersey has a registration requirement for landlords to the extent that they do that. I mean, the same would apply here. But you can also then have governing bodies have police powers. Now, police powers deal with the fact that, you know, if you're going to have a rental and it's of a certain duration, you have to ensure certain things with respect to, you know, maintaining peace, maintaining your properties, maintaining things that are not, I'll call, land use related, right? These are just things that, whether it's a short-term rental or anybody else, but now you're making them specifically applicable to these types of short-term rentals because they're becoming an issue. And then, unfortunately, with short-term rentals, you know, you're not going against the person who's renting because they don't own the property. They don't care, right? It's the owner, and a lot of times the owners are not in the area. So this helps, you know, those types of regulation helps give teeth to the ability to, so I would say, like, control the environment. Then the other issue becomes, I'll say from a land use perspective, if you look at, well, if there's these short-term rentals, does a township want to regulate where they can be located, right? So then you're creating zoning districts where they should be or should not be, and that's traditional, right? Just like when you look at your zoning map, you place residential areas in certain areas, commercial in certain areas, you do retail in certain areas, and I don't know if there's a proliferation of those. I suspect not necessarily proliferation, but something that's been introduced, and then you have to balance that against things, property rights, right? You know, you don't necessarily want to, and having a feel for this town, I mean, you know, when the government comes in and says, hey, they control every aspect of your life, including when you can go to the bathroom or whatnot, that's not a good thing. So you know, those are the things that I think over time, or what you have to think about, how you want to do it. You know, what I'll call the police power, which basically controls the how-to and sets parameters as to, you know, where what can be done on certain properties, and then the land use. You know, when you're looking at, you know, where these types of things should be regulated, right? You know, if there's certain minimum sizes for lots for these types of units, because, you know, what happens if somebody has a farm conceivably and has 100 acres, and then they happen to have on this farm a farm housing, which you can do, right, the right to farm, but then they decide, well, you know, maybe I'm going to use it for another purpose. So there's lots of variables to think about and to consider. And it's not just, like I said, it's just not on the land use side. There's what I'll call the police power side, too, that you can develop. You can even develop that separate and apart from the land use side, you know, as you work along that. But it would seem, you know, two could work, which could work together and should work together.
Yeah, there are a couple of schools of thought, and we bantered this about, if you don't have it in your ordinances, if it's not in your zoning ordinances, is it considered not legal to have a short-term rental? Even though we know there are short-term rentals around. And I know your school of thought.
I think there's a question, and it's about use, right? So under municipal land use law, unless typically towns have in their land use section of their code, they have a provision that says that unless a use is specifically permitted, then if it's not, then it's prohibited. Well, the question becomes, is short-term rental a use? I can make the argument that it's not a use. It's a residential use, right? And that's the use is residential. Or, depending on where the property or the use of rental, where it's being done, if it's in a residential zone and they're renting it, well, it's a permitted use because they're using it for residential purposes. If it's, if necessarily, depending on the number of times they use it, maybe it becomes a commercial enterprise. So now you potentially have a commercial use in a residential zone. Well, now that's a potential issue with respect to a use variance. But that's what I'm saying, not necessarily. And I think when you look from that perspective, to the extent that it's a house in a residential zone and it's being rented, and let's say it's one or two times a year, is that necessarily a commercial enterprise? Again, I can make an argument that it's not. So then the question becomes, if that's the case, you know, let's regulate it from the perspective of alcohol, again, the police powers, right? These are things that if you have a property and let's say you're not owner occupied and you rent it out for any duration that's called short-term rental, state says 175 days or less, if that's the case, these are things that you have to do, right? And then that applies across the board. So, but if you don't have those types of regulation, then you can't apply, right?
Well, I know you were talking about the Wild West. If you leave it the way it is, it's the
There's
Wild
a potential.
West. Or I don't know. Abe, you might want to weigh in on this one because I know you had a lot to say.
I don't know if we're making a mountain out of a molehill here. First of all, I spoke to the police, and in all of 2022, there were two complaints about a Airbnb, and both of them were the
same.
We'll
call them short-term rentals.
Whatever they are. Yeah. And both of those were the same place. Okay? The police went there, talked to them, and our zoning official talked to them. There were no complaints so far in 2023. So are we looking to create a quagmire when it doesn't exist? Also, I think in talking to John, his position is that Airbnbs are not permitted in here. According to our ordinances. And we have a copy of that, I think, in our package. I'm reading them over. It seems like it's not permitted here. So I'm against trying to create another ordinance for something that's already not permitted here. It doesn't mean that it doesn't occur. Don't get me wrong. It's just that it's not permitted. Any one of us could do something against the ordinances, and you know, and then if somebody rats you out, then we'll fix it. But it doesn't seem to be a big problem now. Creating an ordinance is not going to be easy because you have to consider all the issues that we just talked about. It makes it difficult from a conceptual perspective. Somebody has to be assigned to monitor all this stuff, especially if we're going to license it. Who's going to take care of it? I mean, we're creating an administrative infrastructure that's totally unnecessary, again, because the problem doesn't exist in Lebanon Township. So it's kind of my perspective.
I agree.
Any thoughts?
I leave it alone. It's not broke.
Leave it alone?
It's not broke. Don't fix it.
I'm in agreement to leave it alone. I'm a little bit concerned by a view that says it's not permitted, but that's okay. It happens anyway. I think
Hey, speeding is not permitted. It happens all day.
But I think Mark gave us...
That's a good one.
Mark gave us an interpretation of that to say if it's not a land use issue, then it's not permitted or unpermitted in the zoning code because it's not a land use issue.
No, I just
prefer to have a little bit of a resolution to it. I agree, until it becomes a problem, we can't really anticipate how to regulate it. But I think the answer to the guidance to the zoning officer should be, we believe short-term rental, based on attorney advice, is not a land use. It's a function of a residential use.
No,
it's not permitted.
It is not permitted because it's considered in our definitions of the ordinances as a hotel or motel. And hotels and motels are not permitted.
Now, this is the only thing. When I did talk to John after you and I spoke, he did say something about he's afraid of precedents that have been set. And how it's not in the ordinance specifically, but because it is happening.
John for the public is our zoning officer.
Oh, that's right, zoning officer, yes.
I don't follow with that. If it's not permitted, it's not permitted. Mm-hmm. If somebody does it and we don't catch them, that doesn't set a precedent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we didn't catch them.
And also the thing with the Airbnb is I found out recently the reason we're not saying that, among other reasons, I know it's on here, is that they also do long-term rentals. I didn't realize that, too. So it's really Airbnb is not just about short-term rentals.
Well, but an individual can do a short-term rental. If you own a property,
right,
and do a short-term rental.
It's just a factor.
It doesn't have to be an entity, a company, right?
Right?
If I have a property and I happen to be away for 6 months, then I decide, hey, while I'm there, I wanted somebody to rent my house, right?
Yeah.
You can do that, or people have done it on weekends.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't, and I haven't had a chance to speak to John, but if I look at the definition of hotel, motor hotel, or motel, it talks about a building designed for occupancy as a temporary residence of one or more persons who are lodged for a fee with or without meals. And I think that's a definition that comes back from yesteryear, as opposed to looking at what that definition's intended for. I don't know that a short-term rental, the way they're being used, would be considered as a temporary resident. So you have to be concerned about that. What you may want to do, maybe a simple solution, is to define short-term rental and have a definition for short-term rental, which isn't included in the definition sections. And then from that perspective, you can do it that way. But I don't know that short-term rental would necessarily meet that definition. And I think that's what the zoning officer may be relying upon because, again, you look at it and a lot of these definitions, and it's not just Lebanon. It's lots of municipalities because, you know, the whole idea of hotels and motels have changed. Even hotels, you know, before hotels were usually a couple days, maybe a week. Then it became the, you know, for businesses where you could be in a hotel for a month, right? And I know when I was mayor, we went back and we amended our ordinance to deal with that. You know, when you have hotels and because we have a few hotels in our town, that where people stay for a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's not your traditional hotel. It's,
mm-hmm,
you know, when people are on business trips and they're in a location for a month or so. And so,
mm-hmm,
and maybe that's an interim solution to deal with a definition of short-term rental to ensure then that, you know, if you're not going to say it's not permitted in residential zones, maybe that's the tack to take. So it's clear what we're talking about. And there's no confusion relative to the definition. It looks like he may be relying on that definition of hotel, motor, hotel, and motel. And I would argue, and I could argue, that they're not one and the same.
How?
Because a lot of times comes the definitions. When there's a question, believe it or not, the law can be practical. So they'll say, well, what's normally understood as a hotel or motel, right? And I think everyone knows, you think of a hotel.
Not a house.
You're not thinking of a house where somebody's living, you know, doing it over a weekend, mm-hmm, or a couple of days. You're thinking of, you know, Marriott, you name it, Hilton, where the motels, New Jersey used to be full of them, right? You run down a road and tons of motels, right? That's not your idea of what it is. So maybe that's a better solution without having to do all the bells and whistles. Is look at the definition section and adopt a definition that addresses it.
Any other discussion? So I think, Abe, we can just bring back to the planning board on the 19th all the points that came up here.
Okay. Do you want to draft that definition?
I can do something for you guys. I'll do a memo. When's your meeting?
The 19th.
I'll get to you guys.
Yeah. I'll follow up with all right, you so yep. that, you know, put it on the list. Okay. Well, that was just open-ended discussion. So now it's presentation of the vouchers.
None that apply.
I have one here for the Township of Clinton, which is our shared court, for the third quarter 2023, $6,525. I have another one here for Martucci Engineering for professional services rendered, $1,250. I have here one for Jersey Professional Management, $2,500. JC Power and Light. Master account for July 2023, $1,026.15. And I have our New Jersey health benefits for August 2023, both active and retired, $54,140.85.
Warren Asphalt, Blacktop, $10,958.86. Warren Asphalt again, $2,722.30. Patriotic Office Cleaning, $1,565. Bank of PO. Griffith Allied Trucking Gasoline, $2,797.69. Griffith Allied Trucking again, Diesel, $3,713.79. Dell Marketing, $1,842.78. And C&M Auto Parts, $1,327.94.
So I have a couple biggies, mostly because they are the school tax. Looks like for two quarters with regard to North Hunterdon for the... July quarter, it's $1,076,550.67. For the September quarter, it's $1,076,550.67. And then for the Lebanon Township Board of Ed, for the September quarter, is $1,142,287.60.
Stop.
I love spending money.
Yeah. Other people's money, all of our money.
Yeah.
I have one here for Stickle, Koenig, Sullivan, and Drill, LLC, for professional services rendered to Lebanon Township Board of Adjustment as set forth on the attached invoice, $2,270. I've got one for Jay Caldwell and Associates. For the NAR Group Incorporated Use Variant Site Plan, $2,247.50. And I've got one from the Hunterdon Educational Services Commission Technology Services for $1,000 for our monthly technology fee. And that's it for me. Where's the book? Where did the bill list go? There it is. So, the total bill list for the period ending September 6, 2023, is $3,409,547.63. Can I get a motion to approve the bill list?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is the correspondence. Curator's report, did you want to say anything, Tom? There's some pretty nice-looking artwork attached to that.
Yeah, well, if you recall, not too long ago, we authorized them to go out and repair these... Dan Ross paintings, his earlier paintings, and they've come back and they're quite spectacular, the before and after. I really can show just one. I don't know if you can see it on your right side. It's a little grayer.
Over here. It's
greenish. Much brighter. They did a cleaning process on these pictures. Outstanding job. So that was money well spent, and they're at our museum if you'd like to see them.
Mm-hmm. All right. And next up, we received some correspondence from a resident, Bill Bone, on the Airbnb zoning discussion, some backup document that he wanted us to see. And with that, I need a motion to open the public comment for anything you would like to talk about.
I'll make a motion to open the public comment for almost anything you'd like to talk about.
Almost anything.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Hi. My name is Kathy Bennett. I live on East Hill Road. I'd like to bring it to the committee's attention that the past couple of weeks we've had some heavy-duty trucks, five water-carrying vehicles, truck trailers, whatever you want to call them, weighing approximately 66,000 pounds. Over our little bridge, which is maybe can handle 15 tons. So I don't understand why that is not listed as the amount of weight of the vehicle that can go over that bridge. That bridge was just fixed, 4 years ago, and now you're letting vehicles go over it at that ridiculous weight. When will that get crushed?
That's the county. The counties control the bridges in our township, and that would be where you would look to find relief, is that all the bridges.
That was just five in one day.
I understand your concerns.
Okay, and that was a Sunday, where I guess people thought we wouldn't notice. And then, and then there was a big logging truck that went on it just the other day. I mean, what the hell is going on in the township? When will that, if that collapses, does that mean that now becomes a cul-de-sac? Mm-hmm. That would be nice. I'd like it. I wouldn't mind living on a cul-de-sac, but I think the people that use Hill Road would not be happy.
I mean, we can talk to Jason, too, you think, Chief Kronz, to see what they're,
I think Jason and DPW.
Yeah.
Order like water tanker truck?
Big water tanker.
Like someone was getting a swimming pool filled up somewhere?
Why aren't they going up Woodland Road? Why aren't they taking Slyker Road? Why are they going over that little piddly bridge?
You said on a Sunday,
they can take
too.
Take that out. Yeah, on a Sunday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are we hiding?
I mean, I don't know. Do we have parameters on the weight requirements on
should.
That?
Should.
I don't think there is.
It should be listed on Newport Road. Yeah. It is listed. Mm-hmm. There's a big sign right on. Because I went by, to look, talk to Mr. Gabriel today, and he wasn't around. He was busy. Mm-hmm. So, but I did notice the sign there.
On Newport.
The tonnage on Newport.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. But there's nothing. None of the others. And then there's also on, what is it, Red Mill. There's another small one just past Newport that, something goes over that, that'll collapse.
So it's a weight limit sign that they have.
Right. I'm looking for a weight limit and what can come up that road. Mm. All it has to do is take out one of those side walls again, and we're done. Somebody needs to look into it.
That's why I'm taking notes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I actually want to give some photos out to you. I took these today, so it's relatively hot.
Thank you.
Last year, I came to this committee in August, and I complained that we had a problem with the ash trees that are here along our road. Now, earlier this year, some woman came from, was it the power company?
Mm-hmm.
And she said that the power company is responsible for any of the trees that were within 10 feet of the wires. So if you look at the 11 trees that are dead on Mount Lebanon Road, the wires go through those trees, and they're all dead. How did she find this township to begin with? Because the people that work to cut the trees haven't found us. I mean, this is an annoyance, because just a week and a half ago on Sliker Road, I drove down and get 15 gallons of gas. Everything was fine. The road was closed at Tetertown because about a 50-foot tree came down in 10 minutes time. And the only thing that saved the tree from hitting the actual asphalt was the wires.
Right.
Now, if a car was there, and I told you this last year, someone is going to get killed. And I can guarantee you, I got a big mouth, and I will go to the person that gets hurt, and I'm telling you, I'll help them get an attorney to sue this township. This is garbage. There's no reason for this. And you heard it last year. What has been done? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You've got a problem. You've got to correct it. It can't be swept under the rug. Now, last night, on Facebook, we got some information from the NAR group, and they made a false impression about what's happened in this township. They said that basically you in this township had approved everything that they had come for. That's a bunch of garbage. If that was true, how come they went to court and they lost two times? And now they're before the Board of Adjustment again next week. Is there any way on this, on the township site, that you, as a committee, can put something up saying that this was false, absolutely false? It gives a misimpression to people that will read it, and they'll think, no sense going to the meeting next week, because everything is done. We didn't know that. It's wrong, and it's hurtful, because there's a lot of people that are going to suffer from this.
Take a number.
Good evening. Bob Meckel, 676 Wood Glen Road. I have two subject matters. The first one is good news. I don't know, everybody's been by Wood Glen School. I brought it up last year at the meeting. I mean, the effort that school puts into commemorating 9/11, I think, really has to be recognized. I don't know whether the township committee, if that's in their jurisdiction or whoever. I know we have the press here. That would be a very good story for you to write. No, really, it's local, but it has impact of everybody that was affected from 9/11. I mean, you go by there today, every little flag was blowing in the breeze. And they're American flags. So anyhow, that's my good comment. Okay. Somewhat of what Keith said about the, there was a letter from the NAR group on Facebook today. I don't know how many people saw it. I can read it to you if you would indulge me. It's less than a page. You can judge for yourself. There is a lot of erroneous, misleading information in this. What my concern is Keith said, they're trying to garner support from residents that have no idea what's going on at that site. And they're making a lot of statements that, to me, are really fictitious to affect the outcome of what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. The letter is written from NAR, and it's to the esteemed members of the community. As a courtesy to our neighbors, here are some updates on the status of recent developments. We have applied for a zoning board interpretation hearing along with use variance and site plan applications. With the township process, our application was initially deemed complete by the board and township professionals last year. However, we are now faced with a request to resubmit the same documents accompanied by additional fees for a second review. We find ourselves questioning the puzzling nature of the township's actions and validity of this process for similar projects. They go on to mention SLTC, the group Save Lebanon Township Committee, has a GoFundMe campaign citing the need to gather funds for contesting out-of-town developers. And to clarify, NAR consists of local, middle-class New Jersey residents engaged in healthy competition against large corporations. We are committed to our communities. None of them live here. And the community's well-being. SLTC appears resolute in obstructing our rights. They are now challenging our hemp permit, and that's another issue I'll get into, which is legally approved federally under the Right to Farm Act. SLTC misinformation and fear-driven strategies are adversely affecting the community and disheartening to witness. We will be addressing these baseless accusations during our forthcoming Board of Adjustment hearing on September 13th. Regarding hemp cultivation, we are diligently practicing environmentally conscious methods. Hemp and cannabis share visual similarity, yet it boasts distinct characteristics and adheres to stringent THC limits. That's for the hemp. Our plants undergo stages of growth from seedlings to vegetative cycle indoors, transitioning to outdoors for flowering until harvest. The plants are meticulously dried in controlled climates, then packaged and shipped to processors and retailers. Hemp follows a separate growth trajectory, and any plant with THC content exceeding 0.3% mandates destruction, categorizing it as cannabis. It is worth noting that hemp has been cultivated locally on farms in the area for years. And again, that's an erroneous statement. Hemp was only approved in 2018. Years ago, 60 years ago, it might have been grown, but it has not been grown in this township since then. All right. And here are the facts to our commitment responsible to cultivation. Our environmentally friendly agricultural procedures among the most sustainable. Okay, they've never been a producer. Okay, I think that's a big assumption on their part. Odor control is effectively incorporated into our design. Okay, another issue. Indoor cultivation significantly reduces water usage, and I'll comment that on my general letter. The witnessed aquifer test and report attest to minimal impact on our well, even in the dire drought conditions of the summer 2022, without affecting neighboring wells. There was no production going on at the facility in 2022. Now, how can they make a claim that during the drought, there was no adverse effect on their wells? This is the stuff that they're feeding people who do not know what's going on with this industrial complex. Stringent government oversight leaves no room for errors. Our proposal plans will generate less traffic than a small cattle or horse farm. Okay. I've been in the cattle business all my life and farmed all my life for many years, and the traffic that's going to be going in and out of there, let me tell you, I've never seen it on a cattle farm, unless you want to talk the cows talk about the cows walking from field to field. So, our facility is well off the road, not visible from the street, and appears like a typical insulated metal pole building, which are in the backyards and fields throughout our farming community. Well, number one, if you go to the end of Woodglen Road and stop and look across, you can see the complex. Now, maybe my eyesight's better than other people, but it's there. We are using existing barns and revitalizing them to grow plants indoors. Okay, and I'll talk about that too. Then, to finish up their letter, we eagerly wait to plant medical cannabis seeds the same way we are growing indoor hemp today. Please feel free to contact us to help answer any questions, comments, or would like to show support. Anyone interested in touring our site is welcome to contact us to schedule a time. We are enthusiastic about addressing any concerns from the SLTC and township residents. And then they sign, sincerely, the NAR group. Catchy phrase, let's grow together. Okay. All right. Since this issue became apparent to most of the people in this room last summer, we brought up multiple issues about our concerns with the site at the old Diamond Aerosol facility, which to me, my understanding, it's still a Superfund site that has never been remediated, has never come to conclusion. And yet we have a company going in there, digging, tearing stuff out, disturbing the land. They're encroaching the wetlands, doing all kinds of stuff, with or without permits. I can never get an answer. Do they have a permit to do this or don't they? It seems like it's up there in the sky somewhere. I do not get a good answer. I'm still concerned, me personally, I'm still concerned over the security at the property and who will be responsible when the criminal aspects find out cannabis is being grown at the site. Even with hemp, New York growers had extensive loss in open-grown fields that have brought in a criminal aspect not currently known in our township. What about the odors? Even with hemp, there are odors, and they're all downplaying the odors. Oh, it's not as bad as cannabis, medicinal cannabis. Well, from what I've read, and I've done a tremendous amount of work looking up various documents on growing from University of Colorado, Kentucky, you name it, I've looked up as much as I can. The odors with hemp are as bad as medicinal marijuana, depending on the growing period and what they're doing to it. There's a whole process with hemp. Now, my understanding that they're going to be growing inside. Okay, another issue. Even with the hemp, there are odors that could have a vast negative effect on our air quality in the surrounding residential area and the impact on our quality of life and enjoyment of our properties. I've told you before, I live 1,500 feet from where this site is. And anybody in this room, if you go down in the fall, you'll start to see the fog or the dew laying in Spruce Run Creek. All right? That's going to be the harbinger of maintaining those odors and capturing right there. I'm 300 feet above that creek. I enjoy going out in my backyard. But if I have to put up with this, I will be back. All right? I read the NARS letter to you, and in my estimation, there's some erroneous statements that when read by non-concerned township residents, it gives the impression that they, NAR, are being put upon unjustly by the township, and in particular township residents that do not approve of the cannabis industrial complex being located at the site on Anthony Road. Has nothing to do with the hemp production or medicinal marijuana. We've said before, it is not the place to put this industrial complex, not out in the middle of a residential community with houses surrounding it, and people have lived here for most of their lives. I've lived there in my house for 33 years. They discuss what good neighbors they are. Then why all the backdoor work being done at the site over the last 2 or 3 years? If they are so upfront with us, why are they doing this? We have people that you go by there, they've been digging trenches. And that's, again, they're putting in irrigation for hemp production, if you don't realize it. They're disturbing the perimeter around the site. I mean, they've done all kinds of stuff. If you look at the buildings, the old warehouse that was there has been completely retrofitted on the outside. I don't know what they've done on the inside, but it looks like a brand new building. Did they have permits to do this? Again, I can't get the answers on that.
I didn't hear anybody answer that.
No one does.
We're all wondering. Anybody answer that up there?
Well, let me finish, and then we can bring that up. Then they mention the aquifer test that they supposedly performed in the drought of 2022. But they had no use to test that water supply, and I know they do pumping and everything else to say they'll have the water supply, and yet they turn around and say it's adequate. From everything I have read, indoor cannabis needs about half the water of open or field-grown plantings. So instead of 6 gallons per plant per day, it's 3 gallons per day. Based on NAR's own plant estimates of 3,900 plants, 1,400 in flower, in the flower room, 2,500 in the vegetation room, at 2 gallons per plant per day, that is 2,340,000 gallons over a 30-day growing season. Now, they'll say, oh, we're only doing 150 days. Well, then divide it in half. But let me tell you, if they're growing it indoor, they're going to be growing that as many days of the year as possible. It's about 150 days for the growing cycle. So 300 days to me, it'd be 2 growing cycles. So, again, if it was 6 gallons a day per year, that's 3,510,000 gallons of water. Even at 1 gallon per day, with the plants they're talking about, a gallon per day is 1,170,000 gallons per year. The site is in a water deficit area. My well is 70 feet. Are you going to pay, when my well goes dry, to put in a new well? They're not. And then, as I said before, hemp has not been grown in our area for years, as they state. It was not approved for production as a legal agricultural crop until 2018. They say they will control the odor with their systems, but there have been no instances with operations of similar nature. Or there have been instances with operations of similar nature that have had horrendous odors. Talk to the people that live down on Route 22. All right? They did remediate it. I'll give them that. They talk about their grow site that is located from view. Well, like I said, go to the end of Wood Glen Road. You can see their buildings. You can see that factory or the warehouse they're talking about that you can't see. Also, NAR makes the statement they are covered by the right to farm. To receive the right to farm, you have to file an application via the County Ag Development Board, which has jurisdiction over right to farm issues. You are not automatically accorded right to farm coverage protection. It is a policy. People in here that have farms know what I'm talking about. It does help protect you if there was a nuisance complaint. I used to get it when I farmed in Tewksbury. I'd get a call from from the neighbors when I wean calves. Now, can you imagine 120 head of calves missing their mother and the noise they make? Well, that's the type of right-to-farm issue that we're talking about. In my previous position as a county agent, I worked on numerous right-to-farm issues. Two of them were, if you remember, one was Issei Poultry Farm over in Broadway. I don't know whether, and this is back in the late 80s. All right, 2.5 million laying hens, poultry, in 7 barns. When you went into their manure pit, it was alive. You could not go down in that pit without oxygen and a respirator. It was alive because the fly maggots were moving all through that, and it was a liquid pit. When you opened it and they spread it, let me tell you, the odors would knock you off your feet. So there was a group of us that worked on the policy there, the right-to-farm issue, to retrofit each of those poultry barns at a cost of $2 million each. Dried down the manure, got rid of the flies. And let me tell you, their flies looked like the vultures we have flying around here. They were huge. We could even smell it here if the wind was blowing right. And that's over in Broadway. So right-to-farm protection does not give protection to habitual problems or bad actors, regardless of what NAR thinks is normal for their operation. So if they continually have odor problems and all the issues we're talking about, they will not be covered by the right to farm. They'll try. But the right to farm was not established as a policy to protect those people like that. And my feeling is they're going to try to use this. They put it in their letter already that they're covered by the right to farm. I don't think they understand the right to farm. And if you're a farmer in this township, you better wake up to the fact that they'll bastardize, pardon my language, the right to farm if they're allowed to. All right. The other thing, and I don't know whether maybe I should get off the stump. But, all right. I guess I want to know from the township committee, and I don't know the zoning officer from Adam or Eve. I wouldn't know him if I fell over him. And my understanding that he did not take action on the NAR hemp application, and he, instead of taking any action, either yay, nay, or any comments, he just let it lapse for the 10 days, and by state statute, it was done. Now, if I'm wrong, you can correct me. And it's my impression that the zoning officer, he represents all the township citizens, residents, and landowners in reaching zoning decisions, especially with the comprehension of what NAR's township applications are going through and being in direct competition with hemp and the medicinal marijuana. I don't know why the zoning officer couldn't have said, well, you have this one issue that's pending. We're not going to address the hemp application. And that's something I would like an answer on, because it should have been, if he's getting paid by our tax dollars, he should address the issue from the standpoint of everybody in the township, not just NAR.
Fire.
To me, as I said, it would be prudent for the zoning officer to do his job and to address the dual applications properly, since one of them is still open for decision, and it's contrary to NAR, to what NAR wants you to think in their letter. Thank you.
Any other public comment?
I'm back. On the other side of that front page showing the trees, you'll see there's a ditch right across the street from the former Grange Hall, now Squires Point historians, someone is going to fall in that driving a car or a truck. I want you to know that it's 36 inches deep, almost for 8 feet, and it's 2 feet across. Either there should be an additional piece of pipe and have it covered so that it goes to the existing pipe and under the road, or there ought to be a guardrail put there, because last year there was a car that went in there, knocked out the fence for the field next to it. Someone got hurt, a lot of damage, and nothing gets done. All of you should go up Mount Lebanon Road and turn there by Squires Point Historians. It's a terrible depth there. If you were walking in a dark night without a light, if you fall in there, you're probably not going to break a leg, you'll probably break a hip. 36 inches puts you almost at the fender height of your car. So if you turn too quick, you know you're going to be on your side. I hope that you will find someone to address that before they fix the road.
I live up on Sun Mountain, Boulder Field Road, and I've been talking about the road condition, but I'm not going to do that tonight. I just want to say what you were saying about the water problems. On that mountain, it's considered Boulder Field, so if you're on Glendale Woodland Road, you want to take a left. If you're going down to 513, it takes you back out over North Road, and you get down onto 513. That whole section in there, I can't tell you how many homes are up there. But most of the homes have Apple Water, and it's a company. I have a well. Okay, maybe there's three people up on the hill that still have wells. We never hooked into it. They put up a water tank just outside of my driveway. So it's, and they don't even take care of it, but that's another story. But my problem is this. When I'm on Facebook, I can't tell you, and it's just been the last couple of days, how many people are complaining about low water pressure, poor pressure, there's no water, it's very low. It's been going on for so long. And, of course, that tank that they put up and they had come for a special permit to do it was supposed to alleviate the water problems. So you talk about the water with people that have wells. I love my well. We have good water. Okay, I just pray to God that we've been there for 52 years. We built our home. I'm hoping that that we can leave there and still have water in our well. Okay, never had a problem. But it does break my heart to hear these people saying there's no water pressure, they're having problems in the morning, problems at night, they can't do their wash. So I'm coming here to let you know that there is a problem with the waters in Lebanon Township. And thank God that they have Apple up there, because I don't know what they would do. So for all you people that have wells, it is a big, big thing to be considering. That's all.
Thank you.
I have a question for the committee. Could we somehow have a meeting, being we're a shared service with Tewksbury, with the construction office, with the construction office, have a meeting to try to help us understand and verify this permit process?
Well, you know what? I'm waiting for everybody to get done, and then I've got Mark who's going to talk.
I'm just laying it out.
I'm kind of hog-tied and gagged.
Okay.
And, you know,
okay, but I'm not.
And you can quote that. You can quote that. I have plenty I would like to say, but I can't. So I'm going to let him take care of it so that it keeps us out of hot water.
Okay.
Christine DiLorenzo, Teetertown Road. I want to swing back to short-term rentals. I'd like to share three items that might help convince you to ban non-owner-occupied short-term rentals and allow just owner-occupied short-term rentals, because when the owner is living on the premises, he or she can immediately address issues of noise, inappropriate or illegal behavior, and additional guests. I also would like to think the host would be more diligent when vetting guests.
It can't close both doors.
I would like to think the host would be more diligent when vetting guests because he, she will be living in close proximity to those guests. So, first item. Last month, Governor Murphy signed into law defining Hunterdon, Mercer, Somerset, and Middlesex counties as central New Jersey. The law also requires the Division of Travel and Tourism to redraw the state's tourism map and include central Jersey in all regional marketing campaigns, including on the state's tourism website, visitnj.org. Murphy said, quote, "This law will promote travel to our quaint river towns and canal villages, scenic walking sites, harvest festivals, breweries, and more Revolutionary War sites than you'll find anywhere else. Central Jersey offers some of the best experiences to those traveling and vacationing in New Jersey. From this day forward, Central Jersey exists, and you should come visit." Close quote. So with Central New Jersey now being on the tourism map, for sure we'll see an uptick in tourists in our area. Second item, I asked an Airbnb host here in Lebanon Township if Airbnb does background checks on guests and hosts. That person said yes. What I didn't hear from that person was what kind of background checks does Airbnb do. It turns out Airbnb's background checks are very, very limited. And this is from their website, Limitations of Background Checks. Because our background checks are limited, we can't guarantee that they'll identify all past criminal convictions or sex offender registrations by a guest or host. Therefore, you shouldn't rely on them as a guarantee that the user has no criminal background or other red flags. Here's why. Scope of search. We don't run background checks as a matter of course. We only run background checks in the USA and India. And if we do, we only do it when we have at least the first and last names plus dates of birth of the host or the guests in certain situations. Because we don't have this information for everyone, we can't guarantee that we've conducted a check on everyone. Unknown guests of guests. We also don't conduct background checks on people who stay with the guest who booked an accommodation. Only the guest who books will be checked as part of that reservation if we have the necessary information. Accuracy of user information. These checks only work when people give us their full, correct legal names and dates of birth. Even if they provided all required information, we can't guarantee it's accurate or that it even really belongs to them. In frequency, while we have a process for periodically reviewing criminal records of active U.S. users, we may only conduct a background check once per user, which means their most recent check may have been months before you're due to interact with them. Inconsistent reporting. For users who live in the U.S., we don't always check all state and county courthouse records, criminal registries, and public databases, such as but not limited to moving violation reports and driving records. Due to variations in local laws and reporting systems, criminal record information that's searched and reported in each type of check can vary by state and county. Timing. Because of differences in foreign laws, language, and the way foreign records are maintained and reported, we may not run background checks on users located outside the United States. And even if we do, the scope and accuracy of coverage may vary. Incomplete search results. The databases we check are not necessarily complete and may not include records of prior criminal conduct. For example, not all criminal records are public in all states, nor are they all captured by the databases we check. Example, convictions and records of crimes committed outside the country where we are conducting the check may not be included. Also, as determined by applicable law, public records databases may be limited to records of conduct that took place a certain number of years prior to the date of the check. For example, the prior 7 years in certain U.S. states. And lastly, criminal deceit. People may find ways to circumvent even the most sophisticated databases or search technology. So I think it's super important everyone in our community knows about Airbnb's limitations of background checks, especially our police. Number three, one possible event that could occur as a result of limited background checks is sexual assault. As a matter of fact, Airbnb deals with thousands of sexual assault allegations every year. And that's the title of a June 2021 BusinessInsider.com article. According to ex-Airbnb employees, these sexual assaults were perpetrated by hosts and guests. Interesting fact, prior to 2022, Airbnb kept these sexual assault allegations out of the public eye through arbitration and making victims sign an NDA. The good thing is Airbnb changed their policy because of the hashtag MeToo movement, so now if you are sexually assaulted, you can sue Airbnb. So these are just some of the things I wanted to share with you to think about when you're making your decision.
Any other public comment before I turn it over to our attorney to address? We'll keep public comment open so you can... I mean, some of the issues that came up.
Yeah, I mean, so again, you get 30 hours of me, that's okay. I'm not going to, well, sue things. We know there's a lawsuit pending, right? And that's going to take its course. We also know there, you may know, that there's an appeal pending before the zoning board pertaining to the zoning officer's decision. And actually, what the zoning officer did was, in his opinion, he determined that a zoning permit was not required for the cultivation and farming of hemp, recognized hemp as a permitted crop, and they were doing farming. So that was the decision or non-decision. So that decision is being appealed. Because of that decision being appealed, under state statute, under municipal land use law, and the township has an ordinance that mimics it, the issuance of any permits associated with the facility are stayed. I confirm with the construction official that there have been no, and I'm calling them new permits, issued as it relates to the operation of for the farming for the hemp. That will be heard in front of the zoning board. The application, they have the interpretation, is one issue in front of the zoning board, and they also believe they filed an application for use variance in front of the zoning board. It would not be appropriate for the governing body to comment for various multiple reasons. Number one, from what I've learned and I've seen, these types of discussions by the governing body has not served this township well. Because statements are made, well, someone was up there saying how they're misconstruing things on their Facebook page. All you're doing is giving a party who's already, you know, is going to sue fodder to try to misinterpret or spin it to suit their purpose. Then also, and I am a big believer, and I say to them blue in the face, one of my primary jobs is to, as an attorney, but certainly with a municipal attorney, is to avoid issues. So to the extent that you take issues off the board, that is something that somebody cannot come against. I know what they want to say. I won't let them say it. I know you're disappointed in that, but if they were to say things like that, it could influence, and which they shouldn't do, either a decision of the zoning board, and that's an immediate grounds for an appeal and reversal, depending what the zoning board rules. We don't know. They don't know. That's the same reason why I caution and I tell elected officials do not attend zoning board hearings. Zoning boards act as a quasi-judicial board. It's like a court. So it could be just the mere presence of an elected official in a zoning board hearing could influence a zoning board member's decision. We live in a small town. People know how people think. Opinions have been voiced. And you don't want to allow or create an environment that would give an applicant a step up, right? There's a playing ground. There's a process in place. The process has to be followed. It's not within this board's jurisdiction or purview to comment on Facebook. Look, people say a lot of things about anything on Facebook. Of course, it must be true because it's in, you know, it's on the internet or it's on Facebook. I don't even know I never looked at Facebook, right? So, look, a lot of you will be at that zoning board hearing. That's what the public decision, that's what the public process is about. You tell your friends, you tell your neighbors, you appear, you give those that information to the zoning board. They're the body that's going to decide. But I don't want to place this board, this township, in further potential liability relative to respond to comments that these individuals made that may or may not be true. It doesn't serve any purpose. I think to the extent that you know the truth, you know the truth. The board, the committee members up here, they have their opinion. They should not voice those opinions. It just will not do anything. It will not help the town, will not help any of the application. The process relative to the appeal, that'll follow its course. Again, no construction permits have been issued. And whether it's NAR or any property owner, everyone's expected and should follow either township ordinance or state regulations. And to the extent that they're not, then there's a process to address that. And to the extent that issues have been raised relative to whether it's NAR or any property owner, and those issues have been brought to the attention of the township will follow the process that they need to ensure that those issues are addressed. That has to be the process. Look, I get it, right? You have somebody who has deep pockets. I don't want this town to be in a position where they're going to continue to dig deeper and deeper, but I also don't want to give them any leg up. You have to be involved in the process. All of you are involved in the process, or you wouldn't be here. You make sure that when those hearings come, you tell all your friends and neighbors, and you let your voice be heard to the boards that will be making the decision. In that instance, the zoning board. Don't forget. I mean, you know, the planning board did what they did. They ruled. Court agreed with them, right? I mean, there's that lawsuit still out there. So it's not. A government has to operate within the purview and with operations what they can. When you start stepping outside of that, you start doing things that government's not intended, that's when government gets in trouble. And that's when government allows, you know, give people a leg up. So I know that comments wouldn't be made by these officials. It wouldn't be beneficial to you as residents. Will not be beneficial to the process. And again, and that's because everyone has to be treated equally, and everyone should be treated equally. That's when you go back to the whole discussion on the ads, right? That's the whole point. The same thing about protection, maintaining issues. The same, you know, with respect to the short-term rentals. You know, you have to. The law's the law. Doesn't always work. It's not perfect. I will admit. Believe me, I've been on the other side of decisions where I stood there, my jaw was down on my feet. But there's an appeal process. But that's what we have. That's what we're about. We're a nation of laws. You have ordinances. You have statutes in place. And the town has to ensure that their officials, that their professionals apply those laws, that their board members apply those laws to the best of their ability. And that process will have to take place. But I don't want to give, whether it's NAR or any other person, an opportunity to start, you know, making holes in arguments or twisting statements that are said, but serves nobody's purpose. So that's my soapbox. And so, you know, you're not going to hear from them because I told them they can't hear. You can throw the arrows at me. That's okay.
Any other public comment before I...
Can I just ask a question? When more tax bills come out?
I don't have the answer to that.
Check on it. Okay. Any other public comment? Can I get a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we're going to go into executive session resolution number 106-2023 to talk about personnel, attorney-client privilege contracts, and the personnel, the attorney-client privilege one has to do with immediate safety concerns. Can I get a motion to go for resolution 106-2023?
Make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Thank you.